Henry VIII. Don't worry, I won't keep it up. A wise man once said to me, if you love her, let her go. No, sorry, that was wrong. A policeman once said to me, if you love her, let her go and come out with your hands up. When Mark asked me to be his best man, I had two questions. Who he'd already asked, and why they said no. In the end, I had to interrupt him. That's why I don't really ask a lot. It's only fitting to begin by congratulating the new Mr. and Mrs. Hindley. It may be some time since any of you have seen Mark, so I brought something along that might make it a bit easier to recognise it. To witness this touching moment, and Mark, I also want you to enjoy it, because this is the last time you'll ever have it. I am of course delighted to be stood here as Mark's best man, not only because I've always looked up to him as an older brother figure, a mentor, a hero, but I also thought this would be an excellent opportunity tell you some embarrassing stories about him. Then I realised all the stories Mark's ever told me about his school days, his drunken antics at university, his so-called adult years in London, and later then back up north, they all tended to show him rather a positive light. If there was a practical joke, he was always the ringleader. Someone suspecting friends returning to halls of residence rather the worse for wear, found his way to the room that appeared to be his, with the right number on the door and all his things inside, only in the morning to be accosted by masked men who picked him up and threw him out of what he thought was the third floor window. Only to realise that Mark and co had stocked his room with one on the first floor, on the ground floor. He always had the clever put down. He knew the judo instructor who was handy in a fight, no matter how drunk he was. He was the man with the plan to open a nightclub in London, and used bouncers supplied by the Turkish Mafia. He was the man who owned a flat in the middle of swinging Soho and had a flashy sports car. The man who went back to university at the age of 34 and got to go out drinking with girls barely half his age. Shouldn't know about it. All wonderful stories, but utterly useless for a best man to speak. But all was not lost. There was to be a stag do. Mark gave me contact details for all his friends, and I would have unfettered access to embarrassing tales that he always kept from his impressionable young cousins. Alas, they were useless too. Apparently, Mark's very sensible all the time. He's well prepared for all eventualities, and if there was any embarrassing behaviour going on, Mark would somehow ensure that the would-be witnesses are more embarrassed than he was, somehow buying their silence with some sort of mutually assured destruction. A tale about how he was once paid to leave an all-you-can-eat American buffet so that he didn't pull the owners out of business. So perhaps I'd get something from the stag do itself. But even then, silence and decorum reigned. What was I to do? Well, let me tell you, private detectives cost an arm and a leg, but they're worth it.